Blog Talk Radio.
We are poor little lambs who have lost our way.
This is TwoBlackSheepRadio.com with Bob Granger and Dave Wilkerson, where being a black sheep is a good thing. You never know what they're going to say.
Well, good evening, everybody. Here it is, another Thursday night. For those of you who have been listening since we started, are you shocked that we're still doing this? Because I know that I think Bob is shocked. Are you, Bob?
I'm a little bit shocked. You know, but not bad. How you doing tonight, Dave? I see you've been active with our website. It looks terrific. You know, and you did some traveling this week. How'd you hold out?
Well, it was pretty good. I will tell you this, that first-class flying on Delta is no longer what I remember it. Okay, so, but it, I guess it was still better. So it was, I took a trip from Charlotte, had to go down to Atlanta, met with someone at the airport there for a little while, and then flew back up, and I'm in beautiful Chocolate Town, USA, at least for a couple days, and then I may surprise you and get a chance, because we got to go over some of this radio stuff, and, but, you know, hopefully my health will hang in there. What's this snow thing they're talking about, though? I came back too early, didn't I?
Yeah, yes, you did. I mean, the March started out like the lion, like it's supposed to, then it started to soften up, and I thought I saw the lamb. But the lion's back, you know. You'll have that, though.
Well, great. Well, how's your week been going so far, Bob?
Actually, I've had a good week. I mean, today was one of those hectic. I have a lot of hectic days. It doesn't matter. You know, I mean, started work at about 5:15. I had to drive about 7 hours today between different calls, which were pretty good, you know, and not so good. But that's how it is in my business, you know. But then I got into the office, and either Thursday night or Friday morning, one or the other, I always write out the tens of thousands of dollars worth of checks that go out on a weekly basis, you know. And so that's always a situation that you look at this and you say, good heavens.
You're a business guy.
I know. And so, but I'm recovering for that. But here was the thing that was good about it. So I'm doing these checks tonight, and then all of a sudden I thought about what my brother was telling me the other day. You know, and I got excited. See, he was talking to my sister. Now, I love my sister dearly, but we have different philosophies of life, and so there's certain subjects we just can't even broach and talk about and discuss. But
yeah, that happens.
She's always digging into things. I think it has to do with she's having difficulties as she gets a little bit older. But anyway, she pulled up this study, and it said, if you manage to make it to 65 and in decent health, you know, you have a very, very high percentage that you'll be able to get to 87, you know, 22 years of relative decent health and be able to enjoy it. And I don't know where she came up with this, but here's what I'm looking at, though. Hey, and see, all I have to do is I have to last just 69 more days, and then I have a lock on 22 more years. So, you know, I'm feeling terrific. I'm ready for tonight, man. I mean, I listened to Sly, exercised hard, and, in fact, I had the pleasure. Well, one thing I loved what you did with our website, Dave, is you put on that A Call to Action by Eric Worre in 1993. And anybody that's on this call or anybody should be listening to that. I listened to it twice tonight while I was in the process of exercising. Man, that was such an awesome speech. Timeless.
I'm going to put it on the front page shortly, but right now you go to it by the previous shows. If you click on that, I'll bring it up. And it's about a 12-minute speech he did. And it was way back in 93. He was so far ahead of his time when he gave that speech, but it's still relevant today.
Yeah, it was great, you know. And so it's been a great day, and I can't thank my brother enough for enlightening me on how also I have 69 more days, you know, like Bill Murray said in Caddyshack. I got that working for me, you know. So.
Well, are you sure he wasn't talking about Groundhog Day? You know, which one was it? Was it him doing Caddyshack, or was it the Groundhog Day where every day was the same? Because that would help you, right? Because then you could actually make it through a day. You bet. Well, you know, listen, tonight we're going to have a lot of fun. I know last week we had an incredible leadership call. And again, that's not from us saying that. It's from the hundreds of people that contacted us. It said they loved it. In fact, we had a few asked if we might do a series of leadership shows. And Bob and I are talking about that, but we probably would do that outside of this format. And I think it's important, Bob, we should probably tell everybody what we do with this show and why we started it and why we're going to remain true to that. And we'll do some training within it, but a lot of it is we just want to share what's in our heads, because if not, we're going to need some real counseling. So all of you who are listening to us are helping Bob and I make it through each and every week, you know. But I know, Bob, when we talked about what we wanted to do in the beginning, it essentially was we wanted to let people to sort of see inside our daily life with you and I talking on the phone. They still don't understand it completely, do they?
No, in fact, I remember when you and I were discussing it out on the deck on your camp, or I like to call it luxury camp up at your lake, you know, and on the deck there, and we were laughing, having a good time, you know, having a beverage, and we were saying, you know, man, can you imagine what it would be like if people could just hone in on some of these conversations, because we go from subject to subject to subject, we just have fun, you know. And then all of a sudden, you said, well, why don't we do this? Okay.
Why don't we throw a show together? And, you know, the show success has been, it's been a surprise for me. You know, I guess I can tell you this. Maybe it was a bit of a surprise. I believe that there's a yearning for a lot of people to think a little bit differently, you know, to have a chance at least, you know, one night a week to sit back and say, oh, then I'm not crazy. The way I was thinking about things, look, these two guys have been successful, and they think like that too. I have some hope, you know. So, I mean, I think that's why the success has happened. But what surprised me is how it's branched across the spectrum of network marketing professionals. And how we're, you know, again, because, you know, there's no lie to this. We're probably 70% ambit as we talk about things, but everything we talk about is applicable in every single company out there, you know. And one thing that we do is just like what Eric Worre does, my great friend there, where, you know, this is a safe zone. You know, we're here to help everybody who's in this profession. And anything we can do to help that success, well, I guess it's helping the show success too.
Yeah, I agree, Dave. I mean, we talk a lot about Ambit Energy just because we're experiencing it, and they've had that phenomenal promotion here of late, and so we wanted to help all of the new people that were coming in droves, you know, kind of get an edge, you know, on the business and the industry, you know. And so that's – but I think as we move forward, because we speak in almost generic terms when it comes to MLM and traditional business, because we think they're one and the same. I mean, traditional business, you can't survive in traditional business without being a very, very good professional networker.
Well, you know, this is a little side story, and I can tell everybody that this is one of the reasons why I haven't started building another company, why instead I love network marketing, because I got a text earlier today from our chief marketing officer, Chris Jambliss, and it was a simple text. It was just about the Bills, you know. He knows I'm a big Buffalo Bill fan, and he's a big Dallas Cowboy fan, and all the time we're comparing things back and forth, and he said, hey, they're making some great trades. And I made a comment, yeah, and I asked him, I said, how are you surviving during this promotion? Because I know the workload down there is just unbelievable. And he had a great analogy to it, but I just texted him back. I said, well, this is why I like paying $25 a month, because I don't have to deal with any of what you're having to deal with. And he just sent me back this big smiley face, you know. So, I mean,
yeah.
I think that sort of sums it up. I like what we do, because even though it's a lot like traditional business, the strain, I mean, you were signing checks all day. You know, what's the total amount of money did you write out of your pocket today, out of your company's pocket today, Bob?
Probably close to $80,000, Dave. This week.
Just like,
you know.
That.
Yeah.
Just like that, right?
Yeah.
And you sit back and you go, a lot of it goes to the state, to the federal, to the insurances, to the workman's comp,
yeah.
You know. And then you sit back and you go, okay, I get to divvy what's left of this pie. Now, that's what I love so much about this, because when my residual and when my checks show up, they're mine, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like
I mean,
only generating profit.
It's a completely different thing, especially, you know, when you own a small business. And small businesses, we all know that in the future, they're going to get eaten up. It's just the way things are headed, you know, and we have a multitude of families, you know, all of my sons and their children, you know, they rely on this small business right here. So there's always a certain amount of pressure to make sure things are working, you know, and smooth. And then there's all kinds of new things that are always happening with state and federal governments that make it that much harder, you know, for that small business. And so when you look at being able to supplement it and in some cases earn even more in your network-based business than you do in your job or your business, man, that's a find. What a find that is.
Well, that's true. And what you've got to think about is you're talking about what your take-home profit is, okay, what your net is. So if you get to the point where you've got, I mean, you know, let's just use an arbitrary number like $5,000 a month coming in. $5,000 coming in a month, how much would you have to generate, Bob, with your company in total sales to generate that much profit?
Well, it's calling, if you're talking like pre-tax or after-tax, that's a different thing too. Probably by the time you're said and done for $5,000, you'd probably have to be in the, probably close to, when all said and done, net profit, probably close to $100,000.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I mean, think about in sales, you know, and so by the time, and obviously $5,000 a month wouldn't go very far with, you know, several employees and your sons that are your business partners. So you have to
pay
substantially more than that, you know.
Right, but if it's profit coming straight into one person's pocket versus having to start a company that has to generate $100,000 each month generate that. See the difference?
Yeah, gosh, I mean, and that's one of the things that many people don't understand, that the true power of network-based businesses, especially the good ones, because there's a lot of good ones out there.
Well, that's why we're so serious about it in a fun way. But we are serious about this because we do understand those pieces to this business. You know, the show, again, it's sort of evolved. I don't know how many shows we're up to right now. It's a nice feeling. I'm more worried about, you know, the Lone Granger segment, what your letter is, but we'll go into that later. But, you know, it's been a fun week because we're going to have a discussion, you know, maybe even this weekend, about this Chicago radio station wanting to sort of syndicate us and give us a time slot. They actually would like to give us upwards of a two-hour time slot each and every week. And they would like us to expand for that. And I'm sitting back and saying, you know, that's not really what I'm signing up for. So we're going to have to talk about that because that's going to be, here comes the word, commitment, you know?
Well,
and you know that if I commit to something, I commit to it, right? No doubt.
You know, I'm
committed.
I'm the same way, but I mean, with this show, we don't care if anybody listens or doesn't listen to it. I mean, we do, but we don't. You know, I mean, it's their choice. But, I mean, when we start thinking about the show tonight, maybe, I don't know, what was it, 6:30? Something like that.
Well, yeah, I just woken up from my nap. So, I mean, it was, you know, of course, if people could hear the ringtone that I use for you, they would understand the relationship, how things work, you know. But, you know, the thing is, if we're going to commit to this, I don't commit to a lot, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I know with my health and I know with the way I mentally feel about, you know, certain things, and I don't really have to work right now. So because of that, I'm more focused on taking care of myself. So especially after spending all the time with my grandkids. You know, I had such a blast down there I was down there for 2-3 weeks. And, you know, so that's pretty strong. So we're going to have to talk in detail. But it's still an honor knowing that they would like us because we know we're making an impact. You know, there's a lot that goes along with that, too, though, because actually this show could become a real moneymaker. And, again, I never thought about that when we started. But I think if you do things with the right foundation, it finds it to you. It's that law of attraction, Bob.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, like it is what it is. You know, we'll just have some fun. That's it. We'll do what we do.
Well, so did you have anything scary happen to you? Because every week we always have something that you got to recover from or you should recover from. You have anything this week?
No. Everything was smooth. I mean, I did have several people call me up and ask me how my emergency brake issue was.
We started
laughing about that, you know. And but other than that, no, it's been smooth. I mean, you know, nothing to recover from other than the lion coming back in and just typical business issues, you know. But hey, life's good. I'm ready, man.
Well, yeah, that lion coming back and could goof me up because, you know, when the springtime hits, I'm a car guy, so I always get car fever again. And a lot of you may know that, I mean, I bought this great car last year and just have had a blast with it. But I've got my eye on another Porsche that's up in the Albany area, and I may go take a look at it, you know, just because I can't help myself. You know, plus
you might
I figured
want to give yourself a
if
week.
I don't, well, you know, it is, if I don't feel good, I always feel better when I'm behind, and, you know, driving the cars.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I consider that my therapy. I wonder if my accountant, I wonder if he'll let that fly by, my tax guy. We'll have to talk to him about that in more detail. So, but, hey, listen, tonight we're going to talk about why, and I think it's pretty important. We've sort of tied it in three different ways, you know, and what we're going to do is I'll talk to you about each individual way, and then, Bob, we're going to share some of the ways that we go through this again, what we look for. And the first one is, you know, what's your why as far as why would you do a business like this? You know, Bob, when you started, what was your reasoning, and has it changed since, well, it's been almost 5 years. Has it changed over that period of time?
Well, it always, yeah, it definitely changed from when I first started. You know, when I first started, my biggest why, Dave, to be honest, was what if. The two words, what if. See, I've made mistakes in the past when I was real young, you know, throwing away
really?
Things that were worth.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, millions. Yeah, I know. You know, and I've made mistakes in errors and judgments that have literally cost me and my family, millions of dollars. So when I looked at this, you know, as a favor to the friend, I said, man, what if this thing is real? You know, I better give this a shot. Just in case, you know, my fear was is that if I didn't try it and one of my friends did, and then 4 years from then they're driving the vet and I'm sitting there just still sweating bullets over the cash flow, I could have said, well, I should have done that 4 years ago. So I wasn't willing to do that. That was my first reason why, you know. And since
well,
then,
Bob, let me stop you. Let me stop you one
yeah.
second. Hold it, because
yeah.
because I get that. And I will tell you right now, that sounds like you're a standard why that I hear from people. Very standard.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. You know why? Because it was about wanting what someone else might get over you, and so you could drive your Corvette.
Okay? Well,
something. Well, okay. I'm going to grill you. I'm going to make you cry tonight, Bob.
Oh no! You can't. Rhino skin. Don't forget.
I got some stuff I could share that would make you cry.
but
I won't
this.
Because we're good friends.
Here's the thing, you know, when you're talking what if, and you're thinking about the possibility of lost opportunity, which I've seen happen, I've learned from that. All right, you have to be willing to commit to that though, in order to give it a fair shake to see if this is real. See, and that's what I was willing to do. That was the difference. When I said, what if? And also, you know, I knew that we weren't in place for retirement, any kind of retirement. I'll never retire. I'll always do something because I think if you truly retire, you lose your edge. I'll always do something.
I agree.
But,
I
you know,
agree.
But, you know, what does everybody work for and work to put away money for is they do that for their downtime. You know, I don't need an awful lot of money, but I do need enough money to be able to do what I want when I want. That was the goal.
Well, Bob,
I wasn't in that position. Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to put a twist on this because you said something earlier, and I want people to understand how I go through this process. When you talk about the why, then what you're really saying to me is, do you want to be a burden to your family?
Well, you know, hey. Dave, you have an obligation to your family. You know,
exactly.
Don't forget, I'm real old-fashioned. I'm real old-fashioned. And there's people on this call that won't like my old-fashioned nature, but being from the old school, I'm the old-fashioned guy that says a man's designed to, respond to a challenge. A woman's designed to respond to a need. Now, that doesn't mean that that woman is any less, they're usually more smarter than a guy, or less talented. It's just that's the way of nature. And so I feel I have the ultimate responsibility over my entire family to make sure that they're taken care of for the entire future. I had tried different things, but I had never had the real tool that I thought when I look at this, I recognized and I said, man, this could be that tool. And so that's how I looked at it. And thank goodness I went by my instinct because I have learned over the years.
Yeah, so you set yourself up mentally where you knew that you couldn't fail. So because of it, you knew what the ramifications were if you did fail. It just drives you to work harder than the average person. And I use average very loosely because I know that the way that you work it has more energy and stronger than anybody I know. And I mean that in sincerity. I could never do what you do anymore, maybe a few years ago, but now no. But I know that you're driven to do that. So your why is so strong. People telling you no doesn't faze you because you're not going to get off track, are you?
No, not at all. In fact, I'm firmly believe that when people say they don't want to do this business, they never ever say no to me, or no to the business. They're saying no to the.
I agree. Yep. And that's part of what happens.
And if I could teach that more, and that comes with the leadership we talk. Often, we're trying to find out how we can instill that in people more to give them that, that intestinal fortitude, guts, to be able to handle it that way. And I tell you, people, we wouldn't have as many failures in this business or any MLM business.
Yeah, I know. I know that my why evolves all the time. I mean, my biggest part of my why was just to make sure I'd have more free time. And that sounds, again, that sounds very general, but the more I drill down on that, what does that mean? It means that if I wanted to go out to Vegas and to Phoenix and to go spend 2 or 3 weeks with my grandkids, I can. And that, to me, is more valuable because, quite frankly, I don't really know where I want to live. This sounds really strange. I know this is Dave's weakness. This is me talking at third party. Part of it is because I've got so many great friends all over the country. I find that I want to be at a different place wherever I am, So that's why I bounce around a lot. But, I tell you one thing I love about Charlotte, not only the family down there, but the airport getting in and out of is really easy. And I get almost anywhere I want to from the middle of the East Coast, So who knows? That could end up becoming my host. I know my daughters would be thrilled to have me down there all the time. It's just this wanderlust is a killer for me. And, I think that's why you and I get along because you're always on the go, too. So you understand it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll never stop either, which drives some people crazy. But it just it's the nature of myself, and hey, I'm moving forward. And that's what we need. The reason for people looking at these kind of businesses is that they need to move forward. They need to get in touch with that why, and so they can continue and make sure they're moving forward all the time, being in touch with that.
Well, hey Bob, if you're going to sit with a brand new person the first time they start up, how would you go about with them understanding and getting them to explain their why to you in a way that that you could help support them?
Well, that's an interesting question, Dave, because until I have a much, much higher success ratio in my own business, network business, I'm constantly trying to fine-tune that to see what works best. And now, what I'm doing now, I have a serious discussion with people. If I'm doing somebody personally right now, just before they hit the submit button, when it's done, I say, hold on a second, let's take 5 minutes here. And I ask them questions. I said, what do you really, really need out of this business? And we talk about it. And I hope they open up to me. Some will, some won't. Because if I'm not convinced they have a strong enough reason to do this business, I'm going to recommend they hold off. I'm going to recommend they hold off because why bring somebody in if they're not ready to commit to their own reason for doing this? Because they're setting themselves up for failure, because if you're not committed to something, if you're not committed to why you would do this business, then you'll never stay. And you have to stay. And you have to stay every week. You know, and that's my biggest thing now. And so once I find what they really need out of this, then we're able to take a macro goal, knock it down to a micro goal, you know, and say, how much time are you going to take? Yeah, and invest into you and your family's lives right now for the next couple of years. And I'll tell you one thing, when you tell somebody the next couple of years, I'm telling you one thing, you'll see some people that get a deer in the headlights look. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to do this for 2 years. You know, and then you know that they're not ready to commit, you know. And because I want everyone to experience what you and me and so many people are experiencing, you know, and so I'm right up front with it because I don't want them to get hurt, be discouraged or disappointed.
Well, because, you know, if you catch that right at the beginning, you know, most times they're still going to want to jump in, but at least you brought it to the forefront. So you brought it so that they're thinking about it, you know, and I think that that's important, right? Because otherwise people come into especially if they're first time in network marketing. They come in thinking, oh, okay, this is easy. I saw the chart. Three gets three. I make like $85,000 next month. You know? And then when that doesn't happen, well, maybe next month. And a year or two later, they might be making, you know, $400 or $1,000. And they're sitting there and say, oh, this is horrible. And yep, it's $1,000 they've got coming in.
Yeah.
For doing a few hours a week, and that's residually. I mean, the power in that is so dramatic, and I think, again, we do such a disservice sometimes by overplaying the hand.
Well, Dave, when you had such a tremendous role, and I think it probably, if you look back at the regular, not in the very beginning stages, but throughout the years, you probably had a year role that was probably one of the most explosive growth that's ever happened in any market in Ambit, I would guess. So when you were doing that, how were you starting up all those people that were so successful down in that marketplace?
Well, you know, part of it is we had momentum, we had excitement. You know, that's part of it. It means that people are more open to the possibilities. So it's not like they're coming in trying to figure things out. They had some great role models. Again, we're going to talk about this. The tail end of this why thing is why great leadership is important. You know, I was thankful that I had such great leadership in all of the markets that I was in. And that's what helped everybody's why sort of come together because they started witnessing other people's whys occurring. They started seeing it. They also, at that time, I was always pushing heavy on I always kid around and say I always pushing heavy on making people cry because I didn't want the standard why. I didn't want financial freedom. I didn't want all those buzzwords. I didn't want all the typical MLM stuff. What I wanted was somebody to choke up and share with me something that they didn't want to share. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, once they do that, once they expose that true reason, I knew that they would plow through anything. Because they knew, worst case, they knew that I knew their real reason. You know, so that's part of what we did. We just worked in unison. We worked together as an incredible unit, a group that worked together. There was no egos. And I say that, and I mean that. In the groups we got there, the egos were really subdued. Everybody was excited to help everybody. I had to entice certain leaders to get up there and speak in front of the room. They said, you know. And I said, okay, I get it, because I don't really care if I got in front of the room. I would do that if I thought it would help the team, but I didn't care if someone else went up there. Well, then I found they were duplicating what I was doing, right? But the whys just came out naturally, and I think it's what helped a lot of people, you know, make it through that pretty dark period there where we had all sorts of issues. You know, so
yeah.
that's what we did down there, you know. I'm proud of what we accomplished.
You talk about, you know, sometimes you have dark areas like when the old polar vortex hit, and that's when many times it's, you know, when we talk about that why, I think many times it's so important to have some kind of a vision board. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be one single thing. It could be a wall like I have. But, I mean, there's so many times.
Do you
have a whole wall,
Bob?
Yeah, it's in my exercise room. It's very interesting. But
how portable is it, Bob?
It's not portable at all. No, it's pretty stationary. But I did have a picture of it on my phone.
It.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
You know, but,
that's great.
But,
I'd love to see it.
A perfect example of that where it got somebody's attention. You know, Dwayne Scott, and I don't know. There's not too many people that I, respect more than Dwayne Scott. And Dwayne had five businesses when he first started Ambit Energy. And one of the things that used to happen on an annual basis, his wife, and they're the closest family. I mean, they have like 23 grandchildren. They have this huge compound on 50 acres. I mean, just
like the Waltons,
wonderful
almost.
People. Oh my gosh, yeah, they're unbelievable. But anyway, Andrea's a world traveler, you know, and. In the wintertime, she didn't do gray. You know, she got out of Dodge, and she'd be gone for 2 or 3 months. Well, Dwayne could never go because of the fact that he's locked into five businesses. And so what he did is he took a picture of a beautiful beach in India because they love India. He'd be able to go there for a week or two, you know, and they love the Hindu people. And he put this picture of this beautiful beach in India, you know, and he put it right in the middle of his vision board. And he put right underneath that, 3 years. And in 3 years, he was able to sell several of his businesses. He still has the alpaca farm and still has some real estate properties. But he built his business up so strong, you know, and he's got strong leaders in his business, like Davey Moore and John Bailey, and I could go on, and all the youth coming up in his business, Tim Drake and Jonah Friedman, you know, people like this. I mean, great leaders building up in his business. But
yep.
he was able to go. He's been gone now, and this is hilarious. He's been gone since January 10th. Now, we know that's before simulcast. So he has been gone.
Yep.
Throughout the entire promotion, he's had people promoting, and he's been sitting on the beach, and he's been doing mission work, and he's been hiking, and all these different things. You want to talk about true
strong
beach
line.
Money? Yeah, and when he gets back, he might even get back. He might even promote to EC while he's gone. You know, if not, he'll
be
EC within a, yeah, but the point is he was so focused on his why. Of being able to go and travel the world with his wife for 90 days, 3 months, he did it. I mean, he just kept on working it and working it and working it and working it. You know, and I mean, I could go over, even Laura Moore, when she put a picture of a nicer house with a big yard in the middle of her vision board next to her daughter. You know, and she was able to buy that house because it was stuck in front of her, and she never lost track, no matter how difficult it got. And now she's got this huge backyard that, you know, and with a stream running through it, all this stuff, because of the fact she stayed focused on it. You know, and sometimes people really need that, and it's a good idea a lot of times.
So you got to throw stuff up on a vision board that means something. Again, you know, because I remember when, I forgot who, I think Rob was showing me the vision board, and he said, you have a lake house and you have a car, and I said, well, I got all that stuff. He goes, you know, what, do you want a big? I said, not really. I sort of like thing, but you know, I did have there is I put a picture of my grandkids. I wanted to spend more time with them. I love what Mike Stetton has done. Mike Stetton used to have his mortgage payment booklet hanging, and the nice thing about that is, yeah, so he used Ambit as a way to pay down and pay off that mortgage, which he successfully has done. You know, but
wow,
it was something
right.
that was so important to him. And it wasn't just some, I want to buy a new Rolex watch. It
yeah.
was, I want to do something
yeah.
that impacts me today and tomorrow, and it helps my family. And your vision board has to reflect that. It has to be, I stress with everybody, involve your family with your vision board, but also make sure that you don't do it lackadaisically. You don't sit there and say, oh, well, I'll put, oh, I like this. This is a nice big boat. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yep.
Put things up that mean something to you, right, Bob? Hey, Bob,
absolutely.
By the way,
yep.
You got rid of your boat, didn't
you? It's sold. We're waiting to, for the weather to break. The guy's got to come. He's giving a down payment, and then we're going to it's gone.
Well, okay, we got summer coming up. That thing that happens a month every year?
Yes.
Well,
we'll figure something out. Are you kidding me? I'm 1 year away from the boat I need. See, the boat I have isn't the boat I need.
Okay.
So.
Well, maybe I'll do something this year. We just don't have that nice long lake to really run it on. So, but it's okay. We'll work out something. Hey, listen,
all
Bob.
Right.
What I want to do is let's do your Lone Granger spot, because then I want to come back. And I want to talk about the other why, and that's why great leadership is a must. And I think that's critical. I mean, I think that even goes into talking about the why with new people and the vision and the whole bit. So let's do your Lone Granger spot. And listen, what's your letter tonight?
Well, the letter is R. All right. Now that's the 13th letter.
Racing. We're
going to
race.
No. I didn't even consider that. No, I never even considered that.
Well,
now, you remember last week it was Q, quitters never win, winners never quit, This week's R, and there was a lot, let's just get it started.
I'll let you go into it. I like the idea of two black sheep racing down to Dallas, because this Porsche I'm looking at is black, by the way, so it could be really fun. So let's go and get you started, though.
All right.
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver.
So all of us, let's welcome our very own Lone Granger.
Well, thanks, Dave. Here we are back again at that climb up the success ladder. You must remember your ABCs. Tonight we're talking about the 13th letter, R. And, this was interesting. Trying to think about it. I was wondering, how do you equate that to what we're talking about, R? Because what are you going to talk about? Remarkable, how remarkable things are, noteworthy, unusual, or sending forth, as in radiate, routine, fixed, habitual nature, all these different things where I was thinking about. But, I got thinking about it, and I think, there's really the best word that can help someone in that success climb up the ladder. The letter stands for read. Read. Read, study, and learn about everything important in life, in your life. Read and study all the time. Just read, because think about it. In your life, you could lose everything. You could lose your clothes, your house, your car. You could lose everything except two things. The two things that you could never lose, obviously, is your dignity, all right, and your knowledge. I mean, think about that. Knowledge starts with great reading habits. I mean, think about John Maxwell. John Maxwell always talks about every day I file, every day I read. I think about, when I was the most successful periods in my own life, I was in the habit of reading 20 minutes in the morning when I first got up, because I started things very positively. And every night before I went to bed, right at bedtime, I'd read 20 minutes. I've read so many great books. Like in my cars, I always have Eric Worre GoPro and Beach Money by Jordan Adler. That's always there, because if I get 5 minutes or something, I'll open it up. And it always refreshes me. Right now I have two other books going. One is Leading an Inspired Life by Jim Rohn. The other one I'm going back to is Zig Ziglar with Born to Win. Both great books. Today people don't read enough. They just don't read enough. I mean, you don't have to read inspirational books. Read, Edgar Rice Burroughs' Tarzan of the Apes. That's a great book. Just read, because you always learn something from reading. So the letter this week, it stands for read. Study and learn everything important in your life, you know, and that's what the ABC thought is for your climb up the success ladder. What do you think, Dave?
Well, you know, I agree. I think that you're always learning, right? You're always reading different things. I know that, you know, I mean, I do the same thing. I'm always in the outlook for new books to read. You know, I'm a page turner. I do like to have a physical book. So it drives me crazy. I've got my Kindle and my iPad with a couple hundred books in each of them, and I grab a book any day and read through it. But you got to always enhance your knowledge. And I agree with you. I think read, it's not as good as racing, but I'll accept it coming from you tonight, Bob.
I appreciate that.
You know, but now that you set things up that way, I'm going to go right into my brain hurt segment so we can spend the time right after that focused on this leadership piece. And again, we're going to make the leadership portion of the show an ongoing part of it. I think every week we're going to have a small discussion about certain things. How's that?
Yep, perfect.
So you're going to appreciate this after the discussion we had earlier today, but let me go ahead and start this up, and then when we come back, we'll go right back into the leadership part.
Love it.
Well, this is Dave Wilkerson, and you're going to hear why my brain hurts now. Okay, here we go. And, Bob, you're going to love this one because you're not expecting it. I know we talked earlier. I was going to talk about churn and burn. But instead, I got to think a little bit about the hit TV series, The Walking Dead. And I thought, okay, let's see. That hit series on zombies became a huge moneymaker. And if you think back to what they've done and what their topic is, it's not that delightful. And then the way that they have to end these zombies from walking around is, again, a little harsh, right? A little bit tough. But I thought, you know, there's a lot of people in network marketing. They're a little bit like the zombies. They're like the Walking Dead. They're just wandering around. They're bumping into things. They're grinding into things. They're hoping that something that they chew on is going to be the thing that's going to fulfill their needs. And that's just not how it works. What also doesn't work is burning and churning people. There you go, Bob. I got that in. Bringing in a lot of people with the hopes that just a few are going to become successful is actually works against you. And here's why I want you to think about it. If you bring in a lot of people, let's say you bring in 12, 20 people, and you only have one that's successful. I mean, a lot of people tell you that's incredible. That's great. That's, you know, you're going to have your Dr. Ari and Barb Ben. You say that one person made Tim financially free. I agree with that. But I also know that if you brought in 20 and 19 failed, you have 19 people out there saying it doesn't work. People come in that have nothing in it. They really didn't want to do it. They don't care about it. You've got to be really careful. Otherwise, you fall into what the MLM industry calls burn and churn. And for some, that's acceptable. For me, it's not. And as you can guess, yeah, that's what makes my brain hurt. Why? You know, sometimes you're just so excited about what you want to do, and you want the sheer numbers. You want to be able to tell everybody, I'm just like so-and-so because I brought in 10, 15 people. You know, personally, I don't care how many people you bring in. I care about what the financial result is for you and your family. Okay, so when I'm looking at those people I'm bringing in, I'm still selective. Even when there's no cost involved, I'm still going to be selective because I know that I want someone that's going to enhance the team. I want someone that has the potential to become a leader. And I have someone, more importantly than all of this, that has the ability to become independent of everybody else. And I don't mean not relying on other people, not being involved with other people, but being driven to go out there and do that, things for themselves that will make them better. So, yes, that's what makes my brain hurt. And I hope, in a way, it makes your brain hurt as well. So, Bob, does that make your brain hurt?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I mean, not too many people would start off with a segment talking about The Walking Dead, you know.
You know, it just seemed to fit. I was talking, after I talked to you, I said, wait a second. I said, think about it. I said, I just watched these people just bouncing into people, and they think that they keep bouncing into them, something's going to happen, you know, and it doesn't. It just doesn't. You've got to have a focused plan. And let's talk about leadership right now, because I think that falls into it more than anything. You know, great leadership is a must. And I've had quite a few people say, you know, Dave, I can't wait till I have people that I can lead. And I said, wow, you got to get rid of that. I said, what you've got to think instead is you may be leading yourself. Maybe that's what it takes right now. Or maybe what happens is you're working with a local area with a team that's not part of your team. But guess what? You could still become a leader. You know, you just have to learn the skill set. Bob, finding a leader, what do you do? What's the first thing, the only thing that you look at to begin that process?
Well, that's there's a lot of things. The biggest thing about first of all, well, that's a great question, because you know you can look at people that have been in business a long, long time. They come into this business, and they've already developed a lot of leadership greatness to begin with. You know, like the guys like Davey Moore and John Bailey and Judge Palumbo,
sure.
You know, people like that, you know, and so, and when they come into the business, it's just, they just have to decide when they're going to take it a little bit serious, because their leadership capabilities are already there, and then they improve on them because of everything that's around them, you know, which is great. And then you have the other ones that come into business, that'll come into business. You know, many times I talk about Laura Moore, and the reason I talk about her is the fact that she's got 30% of my business is in her business. Well, when she came
sure.
into the business, she signed herself up as her customer, and I didn't even know it. And then I called her the next day and congratulated her, and she says, what do I do now? But in the meantime, she was ready to learn, you know, and I said, this person has leadership ability, because I recognize that because I've been around a long time, you know. And then I look at some of my younger people in the business that are really headed to becoming great leaders. They're leading already, but they're going to be great, like the Caleb Scotts and Tim Drake and Jonah Friedman. I mean, I could go on and on. I hate leaving people out, but these are people that just
still
jump at
yep.
me, you know. And
right,
and they
still have to learn. I had a discussion today with my good friend Tim, and Tim said, he goes, okay, Dave, I've got these people in that came in, and I have three of them that I really believe are pretty strong. And I said, okay, let's talk about those three people. And we went through each of those, and I've never met any of the three people. Okay, so he's giving me information, and we're talking about it, and I'm asking him questions. And by the time we got through, I said, all right, Tim, I said, you know, you've got three people, one that has a lot of influence, but it's probably not going to do anything, because the influence is what got him his customers, and you took care of a lot of that for him. The other two have done things on their own. They're the ones right now that I would try to nurture. And I said, Tim, what you want to do is, I'm more than happy to help you with those two. And I said, let's see what happens. Let's do a couple things here and there. We're going to involve them in a couple, you know, quick phone calls. And, you know, I'm going to start laying the foundation of leadership. And if they react to that in a positive way, well, then, you know, we provide more and more. And then, you know, again, it's a slow process, and you have to have patience. But hopefully by the time we're done, I can do for Tim what happened to him almost 3 years ago when we put Dr. Arian Barbendieshe in, and we took his influence and his leadership capability, and he led us to, you know, like I figured out today, I have over 400 leaders on the team, and probably 250 of them come from that group from New Jersey. So, you know, it comes
wow.
about the spending some time with them, letting momentum happen. You know, it doesn't mean you don't nurture it along, but don't freak out if it doesn't happen in the first week. Momentum takes a while, but let me tell you, when it flips, when it happens, it's remarkable. I mean, you know, this free enrollment period has been great, but I can tell you right now, I had just as many people were coming in a few years ago in New Jersey that paid $429.
Right.
You know, so
yep.
think about that potential. If they had done free back then, who knows what would have happened? You know, but I don't worry about that. I worried about the leaders we created and duplicated. But you have to recognize who they are. And then you have to leave your own personal ego at the door. And again, that's my humble opinion. I think you can guide people, But I think if you're going to lambaste them and you're going to demand they do this, or you're going to call them out for something they didn't do, I think it works against you.
Well, that's what a bad boss does. I don't think you ever fully arrive as a leader. I mean, you can become a great leader, but I mean, if you were to talk to somebody like John Maxwell, who is probably one of the most unbelievable leaders in the entire world, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's no way that John Maxwell has said that he's arrived. There's no way, because once a leader says, "Well, I'm there," they're on their way down. You know, and it's
nope.
Always you always want to try to become better and better and better, and try to relate better to a more diverse crowd of people, and that's what you try to improve on. And if you can continue to improve on that, you can continue to show the proper lead and the proper education, and so the people that you're working with become great, 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 great leaders, and they're probably going to be potentially greater leaders than you ever will be. You know, that's the thing that's nice about understanding true leadership.
Well, listen, Bob, you know, we're past our time already. It's what happens. We always wonder if we're going to have enough to talk about, but you know, Shazam, here's what happens. You know, so I'm going to go ahead and play our close, but let everybody know that we've got a lot of information going up on 2blacksheepradio.com. We also have got some surprises we're getting ready to roll out. We're going to have our open mic. I think we'll do it next week. I think that's the last Thursday of the month. We're going to do an open mic night, which we got a lot of people that want to call in. We've held off because it throws Bob and I off, and you know, quite frankly, he doesn't always want to answer what he should answer, but it's okay. We'll slide by that. Next week, he won't have a choice. Okay, but I'm going to do our close, and everybody, again, we really appreciate you supporting us. Anyone who got my letter I sent out to my team today, I hope they read that into that, that it's been one thing that sort of helped keep me focused on feeling better. So, you know, Thursdays are my good days. So, everybody, with that, we're going to close it out, and Bob, you and I will talk shortly.
Hey, buddy.
When a seed is planted in the ground, all you can do is water it. You cannot control the sunshine, you cannot control the weather, and you cannot control what the locusts will come and try and destroy it. All you can do is plant your seed in the ground, water it, and believe. That is what allowed me to be in this position right now. I would not stop believing.
People say you have to have a lot of passion for what you're doing. And it's totally true. And the reason is because it's so hard that if you don't, any rational person would give up. It's really hard. And you have to do it over a sustained period of time. So if you don't love it, if you're not having fun doing it, you don't really love it, you're going to give up. And that's what happens to most people, actually. If you really look at the ones that ended up, you know, being successful, unquote, in the eyes of society, and the ones that didn't, oftentimes it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it quit because they're sane, right? Who would want to put up with this stuff if you don't love it? So it's a lot of hard work and it's a lot of worrying constantly. And if you don't love it, you're going to fail.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Well, I hope that got you fired up a bit. I know that my co-host, Bob Grange, and myself, we sure do appreciate you spending each and every Thursday night with us, 8:30 Eastern Sheep Time. We do have a lot of fun. Make sure you have all of your team join you because there's going to be some great surprises coming up. Also, feel free to go to 2blacksheepradio.com because we have all of the previous shows available for you anytime you want to listen. Okay, everybody, listen, remember, being a black sheep, it's not a bad thing. It just makes you a little bit more unique. See you all later. Bye-bye.